Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Previously on the Pavement Top 50.
So here we go with Texas Never Whispers. Aiden from Vermont, what are your initial thoughts about this song?
Texas Never Whispers is a really cool song. Full disclosure, before you sent me that this would be the song that we were going to be talking about, it honestly wasn't one of the tracks off of Watery Domestic that really jumped out at me.
Oh.
But after... After you sent it and I knew that we were going to have to chat about it, I listened to it a little bit deeper and I definitely found like a new appreciation for it.
Hey, this is Westy from the rock and roll band Pavement and you're listening to The Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, back for another episode of our Top 50 Countdown for seminal indie rock band Pavement. Week over week, we're going to count down the 50 essential Pavement tracks that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and an air fryer. Seriously, is there anything this machine doesn't do? How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in to find out. So there's that. This week, I'm joined by Pavement superfan, Boston Russ. Boston Russ, how the fuck are you?
I'm fantastic. And
this is
ready
good
to
news.
Rock.
This is great news because it would be a hell of a podcast if you were not ready to rock.
That's right. That's right. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for doing this. You guys do all the heavy lifting on these. So this is fantastic for me, you know. Let's get right to it. Let's talk about your Pavement origin story.
I think my Pavement origin story goes back to 1994. I'm a little late. I'm kind of a latecomer in some respects. So back in 94, a good friend of mine, so I got to give him some props. His name was Sean McGovern. We called him Slappy and a few other things. He was in a band in the Boston area called Beeswax. There's some other bands in our area called Beeswax also, but he was in with a few guys and they did AK-47 and a couple other songs. Sadly, he passed away a couple of years ago. He got sick.
Shit.
But back in 94, we were good friends and we hung out a ton and he just like one day gave me this like bag of CDs. He's like, he left it in my car. He's like, listen to these. And so Crooked Rain was there. And so I put it on and like Silent Kid comes on and I'm just like, who are these guys? And, I played the album some and it was just like, I go back and I look at that time and like the album release times were just at like really like fast moving parts of my life. It was like the end of college almost where Crooked Rain came out. It was like the end of my junior year and I was doing a radio show and I don't know. I like never quite linked up to like really feature them prominently. And then Wowie Zowie comes out like 2 weeks before I graduated college. And, and get into like the summer in 95 and it's just like, it like just blurred. And so it's like, heard it like a little bit, but didn't like totally like dive in. Not until Bright in the Corners came out in 97. And that, like, I just could not stop playing that album. Like, just word
out. Great record.
And word out. And I wanted to see them in concert. I had been to a bunch of different shows for bands, like Foo Fighters. I got to see Foo Fighters when they were together for 2 weeks in 1995.
Holy shit.
They were
shit.
Together. Nobody knew who they were. This is my same friend. So Sean says to me, we got to go see this band play. Eddie Vedder's wife is doing a percussion band and Eddie Vedder is going to play with Mike Watt, and Dave Grohl is going to show up and do, he's going to play with his new band. And I was like, he's like, you got to go. And it was like this rainy Sunday afternoon. We go to this club called Avalon. So if anybody's, you know, knows Boston, knows the 90s, we wore Avalon out. I mean, it was like one of the best places to go for rock bands. And Foo Fighters was the middle band. Grohl comes out on lead, and you're like, because you're like, oh, Dave Grohl, new band, going to be a drummer, right? He comes out on lead and does like, and he's holding his guitar in hand. And it was like that one moment where it's like, best ever or total train wreck. And he did This Is a Call, comes in with the first lines, you know, just his voice, butter. And from there, it was crazy. So, like, you know, I followed like a lot of these bands and went to a lot of these shows and just didn't quite, I kept missing Pavement. And then they broke up and I got old.
You and me both, brother.
You know, and it's like, oh, and they got together in 2010. And but my son was like a year old, and I had really moved far from Boston at that point and totally missed the tour. And I was like, oh, you know, and just kind of feeling like stuck. And so I would listen to, you know, Pavement a lot during the 2010s. They were a big part of Spotify and I would play them. And I don't know, a couple of years ago, I was just saying to myself, it would be really great if these guys would really do a tour.
Yes.
And then it happened. And they came to Boston and I got sick.
No fucking way.
I got sick at the end of September. I totally missed the announcement that they were coming, and then got sick and I couldn't get tickets, and I skipped it. And I was just like, I'm like totally beside myself, you know? And I was like, all right, this is okay, 'cause we're going to make up for it. And, so we come to the end of the calendar year in 22. And, then one of the best things happened to me. My wife, her best friend, calls her up and says, guess what I have? And my wife says, what? And her best friend says, I have an extra free ticket to see Taylor Swift. And my wife is a huge Swiftie.
All right.
Okay. Huge. And, you know, but her best friend lives in Tennessee and we're in Boston. And her best friend says, the ticket's for Tampa Bay.
Oh, my God.
So, because that's where her best friend mom lives, right? So she's like, she's just like, well, I'm going to go from Tennessee to Tampa and go to the show. Do you want to come with me? And of course, you know, well, I got to tell my wife, I'm like, you got, it's a ticket of the year. I'm like, this is like, you got a free ticket to this? Like, yeah, you have to go, right? Yeah. You have to go. So of course, like she got the ticket. I got her a flight, and you know, she goes down there and has a ball, right? They drive, they do like a 1,300-mile road trip from Tennessee to Tampa and back. They go to the Smoky Mountains. They have like the best time ever, right? So right after the ticket, you know, I got her the plane ticket. The Pavement in Iceland announcement comes up.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, Pavement, Iceland. And I turned 50. And I'm like,
ha, 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 ha.
She's like, yeah, you have to do that.
That is a great wife.
Yeah, she is fantastic. And I'm like, I do have to do this, don't I? She's like, I think you do. And I'm like, it's three shows. I'm like, they'll play all the songs. They have to play all the songs just about, because it's three shows in a row.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and I ended up booking the trip. And so this was like, you know, I think the release was like late January. So like early February, it was like a couple of weeks after they released the thing. I got tickets, but I still got like fifth row, and I got second row for like the last show. I got really good tickets. They were a little slow to sell out of the gate, but, and thankful for me. 'Cause you know, I'm like, so I got a flight. The flights were very reasonable. And so got a flight and just said, we're doing this thing. So as the year ticks by, I'm getting ready. And then I think it was sometime in like late June, my birthday passed and all this, getting ready for the trip. And then I get the big announcement that says, in Iceland, they're going to do a walking tour with the band.
I did not know this.
Yeah, they put out a walking tour with the band. So Steve and Bob participated in the walking tour. And Spiral also, of course. So it was the three of them, and then you would buy a record and buy the tour.
Wow.
The walk tour. So 90 minutes around Reykjavik, and there was a host, and then they would go ahead and talk about, they would just talk about the musical history of Iceland, and then you could walk around and get to meet the Pavement guys. So there were 50
tickets. That's fantastic.
There were 50 tickets, went on sale at noon. My hand was like on that button, and I was number 21.
Amazing.
I could not believe I got a ticket. And I'm like, is this hyping up to be the best trip ever? I'm like,
sounds like it.
I'm like, what's happening here? And so now we're leading up to the trip. The trip's at the end of July. They did the shows at the end of July. So sometime in July, I'm on Reddit. I'm on the Pavement channel. And Sky posts up and he says, who's going to Iceland? Let's form a group. So I'm like,
brilliant.
Great. I'm like, how about me? I'm like, I'm going. He says, hi, I'm Mike from DC. And I'm like, I'm Russell from Boston. Great. So I jump in. Another guy, Steve from Milwaukee, jumps in and says to me, so what do you think the weather's going to be like? I'm like, maybe like a mild Boston winter. that unfortunately, to me and Steve, that meant two different things. Sorry, Steve, because I ended up considering that to be a little chilly. So, but I run a little cold. So it was pretty funny. And so, slowly, like this little group of people forms on Reddit and then goes over to WhatsApp. So the day comes, finally go ahead and fly out. Do the flight, no problem, get there. And then when you fly into Keflavik Airport, it's about 45 minutes from Reykjavik, you go and take a bus.
Okay.
And so guy sits across from me. He's also from Massachusetts. His name's Curtis, and I strike up a conversation with him. And halfway through the conversation, he's like, by the way, are you here for Pavement? And I'm like, yes. He's like, what? I'm like, what gives me away? He's like, you're a certain age, traveling by yourself. I figured you were here for the shows. And I'm like on the bus and I'm not even there yet. And like, we're already like way off and running. So we get to the Thursday show and, the moment of truth comes and, I'm walking down to Harpa Concert Hall. It's like a huge glass structure. It's beautiful. If you ever see the pictures online, it was amazing. Beautiful place to play. And so I'm walking and I'm within sight distance of the concert hall. I've already spent the day there. Reykjavik's beautiful. People are nice. Everybody's very relaxed. And guess who walks right by me is Mark Eibold.
Really?
Yep.
Just walking to the venue.
I'm walking to the venue. He's walking away from it. He's probably going out for, maybe like a quick bite to eat or something. We had time before they went on. He walks right by me and I'm like, Mark. And he turned around and I told him hello. And I said, I was here for the shows and everything. He took a quick picture with me and that was that. But I got to meet him and I was like, all right.
He is the elusive one.
He is elusive. And so, but I got to meet him and got a photo and I mean, super nice. It was like 90 seconds tops, cause I just didn't want to take up his time. I mean, he's getting ready for the show and everything. So I was happy for that. And
yeah,
I went up to the concert hall and everybody just started to meet. And, it was funny because, I think it was Mike in the group said, okay, so here's the moment of truth. How are we all going to know it? Who each other are since we don't know each other.
Good call.
So I said, "All right, I'm going to go stand by one of the tables. I'm wearing bright blue Pumas. You can't miss me because I'm also wearing this like bright vest. I tend to wear bright clothing sometimes, and so like I got this vest and I got this like hat, pom pom, and this whole getup. Can't miss me. I mean, I'm like." Screaming, and everybody's dressed in like black and Reykjavik, so I'm like, I really stick out. And I'm like, can't miss me. And so I think like the first guy that comes over is Steve, and Steve's like, Russ? And I'm like, hi. And so that just kind of like broke the ice for everybody, and people started to gravitate over, and, you know, like we're having a couple of beers, we're talking at the shows, you know, and just met some like really great people, you know, the merch table's there, and we're taught, you know, other people got tickets for the walk on Friday, and it was amazing. And one of the guys, Eric from New Jersey, Eric says to me, I said, you know, I got Crooked Rain with the tour. I said, but I really wanted Wowie Zowie. He's like, why don't you just buy it at the merch table, bring it with you tomorrow, they'll just sign it. I'm like, genius.
Yeah.
So I did that, and that ended up working out very well, because they signed both albums. So solid piece of advice from Eric. And so we did the show, and, you know, it was fantastic. They started off with Grounded, which is one of my favorites.
Damn.
And it was really great because, like, when they just break into Grounded, it's like, I made it, you know? Yeah. And, you know, the months leading up to that were a little difficult. My mom was pretty sick. She's, you know, she had some tough moments last year, and it was just like really emotional. I was like, holy crap. I really did it. I mean, this was like
30 years in the making.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and it's like when you see that like Pavement in Iceland thing, and it's like, you look at that, and it's like a lot of times you just look at those types of things, yeah, and then it's like, oh, I should do that. And you don't end up doing it, you know,
right,
for all the reasons to not go, and for all the reasons to go. And it's like, I'm here. And it was just amazing.
I bet.
It was just really great. They did Summer Babe, and, you know, by then we're all friends, and like we're all yelling all the lyrics to the songs, and, you know, everybody's just like carrying on, having a good time. And you know, go out to the bars after, we're out late having drinks, and everybody's, you know, really just getting to meet each other and have fun and you know, learn where everybody's from. I mean, people came from Los Angeles, you know, Jersey, DC. There were people from Europe, you know, Berlin and England, and like all these places, all these people just converged, and they all came by themselves.
Really?
Yep.
Most of them came by themselves. Wow.
They all came by themselves. And so there was this group of people that had all come by themselves. And now it was like, we started to become like this little unit.
Mm-hmm.
So now Friday was like really one of the highlights of the trip. Because we had the Pavement walk, and it was just great. I'll send you a copy of this picture, but like, so I bring Wowie Zowie, and I mentioned how I like to dress up in bright colors, and my whole getup for the day basically matched the album cover. And I didn't plan it that way, but I had like, you could see like my hooded sweatshirt, and I wore this like green hooded sweatshirt and this, you know, and a shirt, and my vest and hat and everything were all like blue and green. And so, and I had green Puma sneakers, like the old, you know, the old sneakers, all like, I'm like blue and green head to toe, right? And so I show up the next morning, and everybody's looking at me, and I'm like, hey, Wowie Zowie. Everybody just couldn't believe it. And so, you know, Steve West and Spiral come up to me, and they're like, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm so glad to be here. And they took a picture with me like right away. They were like the nicest. And it was great. I got to meet Bob Nastanovich and his wife, Carly, who I got to be really good friends with. She was absolutely amazing. So like more, like there's like more interacting to come. So we go on the Pavement walk, and it's hosted by a guy from Iceland. And so one of my favorite jokes on the whole trip gets set up, right? So we're walking through Iceland, and he's like, oh, this is where Björk lived, and and this is where this was, and this is what happened here, and all of these spots. And then we get to this condominium. And, you know, he's standing in front of it and gets everybody up there and says, now this is, used to be the rock and roll club. He's like, it looks very clean now, but back in the late 80s and early 90s, this is where we would come and we would write songs, we would play songs. This was this was the club. This was it right here. This is the spot. He's like, this was everything right in this spot. He's like, wow. Then he said the thing that just made my eyes go like big bug wide open. And he said to me, we used to get blackout drunk. And I'm like, and then there was like this kind of pause, which I love because it just kind of sets me up and I have this sense of humor. And I just kind of raised my hand and I said, did you say that you got blackout drunk here? And he's like, yeah. And I said, but this is your old club, right? And he said, yeah. And so I said, so now that it's closed on weekends and shut for good, would you consider this your own personal Hall of Fame? And Steve West is kind of looking at me and then all of a sudden just looks straight down to the ground like really hard. And you hear like three people chuckling in the background who get the joke. And I'm sure other people got it, but like, you know, maybe it wasn't their sense of humor. And I just felt like he didn't get the joke, which just to me made it like that
even
much
better.
It made it even better. And yeah. I was just like, you know, it was great. And so my friend Steve comes up, who he's from the Midwest and has a like this very straight sense of humor, and he's like, your joke earlier, that was good. Which I loved. He's like the perfect straight man. It was so good. And so we go on the rest of the walk, and I got to meet Bob a little bit more. I got to meet Carly. But then I got like, you know, probably about 5 minutes to walk with Spiral. And I got to tell Spiral like how much I loved Date with IKEA. Which is just like probably, it's definitely in my top five. I think I submitted as like number three on my list because I just love that song. There are just like songs that just really resonate with me. It always makes me smile. I love playing the John Peel version because it's quicker and it just really hits every time. And it's just funny because like, I became part of like Team Spiral. Right. Because like when I would go to the shows, I would stand like on Spiral side. Like a lot of people buy tickets and stand to the left.
That's
where
right.
Malk is.
Yeah.
But I like to stand to the right because I can see Spiral. I can see Bob and I can see Mark and Steve very easily. And I can still see Malk and Eyebold and everybody else. But like, you know, Malk stands so far over.
He does.
You know, but a lot of people gravitate over there. So it's good. And, you know, so, I mean, it was just amazing. And
did you get to hear them play Date with IKEA?
They did. They played it Friday that night. They played it. I said, he's like, yeah, we'll play it. He's like, we'll play it. And you get to hear it. And and then we went back and they did autographs. We got to meet them. They were just fantastic. They were all just so nice. I mean, everybody was generous with their time. I mean,
that was my experience as well. Like, just so gracious and so accommodating.
Yeah. And so it was like, okay, where do we go from here? We did the Saturday show. I did like all, you know, I did some tours. I did Blue Lagoon, which is now like closed, you know, and those are heartbreaking every time we see like the volcano eruption stuff. And You know, I feel for the people in that area because, like, all the people were so nice. I mean, just walking around Reykjavik, it was like so, it was just so great because everybody was like so relaxed. I mean, I was walking down the street one day and I had some napkins kind of coming out of my pocket and somebody comes up to me and he's like, "Your money." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks. It's just napkins, but thank you." You know, like, yeah. You know, and like, you know, where I live, it's like everybody would be like, "Boop, I'll take that, thanks," and keep walking, you know, or let it fly away and, you know, all of that. But, you know, we just had this crew and we would get, you know, we got together for drinks on the last Sunday and, you know, and people said their goodbyes and stuff. And it was just, it was great. But everybody's like, "So who's going to Brooklyn?" Right. Because the tour wrapped up in Brooklyn in September. So in like 6-7 weeks later, a lot of us went to Brooklyn.
Jesus Christ.
So because you know, they had put the announcement out that the tickets were going to come out. And I told my wife, I'm like, I got to do one more. I just feel like I'm really called to just, I got to go to the last show. Got to go to the last. So I bought two tickets and I called, I have a twin sister. I called my twin sister, Andrea, and I said, "Dude," because she used to go to all the shows with me. I'm like, and she took me to Foo Fighters for our birthday. Like one of her 50th birthday present to me, we went to see Foo Fighters in Laconia, New Hampshire, turned back the clock. And you know, it was a great time. So I said, "Well, you did Foo Fighters." I said, come to Brooklyn with me because she loves going to New York. I said, "Come to Brooklyn and let's go to Pavement." She's like, "All right, let's do it." So I bought the tickets. And then we were coming up to the shows and the only song I didn't hear in Iceland that I like absolutely like had to hear was "Elevate Me Later."
Yeah.
And couldn't stop talking about it. So we get to Brooklyn the week of the, it was Monday, September 11th was the first show. And everybody did the first show and I had friends there. Like, and now everybody's like totally into it. People know each other. And my friend Eric, the guy from New Jersey, was unbelievable and basically was just like posting in the chat, like, "Okay, they're doing this song. Now they're doing this song. Now they're doing this song." And like some people would like post videos into the chat. Somebody tried to do like a little live. I mean, the time that people were investing in sharing the information with everybody else was just wild. So I'm just like, I was like, I'm getting a ticket for Wednesday because it wasn't sold out yet. And I was like, I'm buying a ticket for Wednesday. And I worked it out with my sister where we were going to take the train together. And then she's like, "I'll just buy a bus ticket. You meet me there." And I'm like, I'm going out on the train a day early and I'm going to the Wednesday show too. So I get to the Wednesday show and because now it's like I'm in it now. Now it's like I'm in it. So I got tickets for the last two shows. I had to. And I'm so, like, it was like really just called to do it because I got there. You know, I met up with Steve and Mike and everybody and it was wonderful seeing everybody and met new people too, like Wes from Chicago, who was really great, and he ended up cutting some videos and some other folks. But they ended up doing "Elevate Me Later" on the Wednesday show. It was the only time in the whole tour, the whole year and a half tour, that they played "Elevate Me Later."
Holy shit!
And they
were
did.
There for it.
I was there for it. I couldn't believe it. I like, because they wrote it out as LS2 on the play sheet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "Are they gonna play it?" Because and my friend Wes is like, "Well, there's like two versions of it." He's like, "I think so, but maybe." And then like they kicked into it and I'm like, "That's my entrance song." And it was like, I was like in a hyper trance for like the first 20 seconds of it. Cause like, I couldn't believe they were finally playing it. And it came out great. It was amazing. Rebecca Claycole, who was there doing, you know, the organ work on the tour, her voice on the backing vocals was just awesome with everybody else. It was, it's a great version. It really needs to be on Spotify. It's
Well, I hope we get some live records at some point from this tour, you know?
They were taking video and all kinds of stuff, so I am hoping that they do some live work with it. And if we get that out, you know, produced, it would be like super great. Yeah. So, I mean, it was really great. At the end of the Wednesday show, we went to the bar across the street. We were having beers. We kind of closed that place down. And then Spiral runs out and, and he's just like booking it for his Uber, right? Because, I mean, you know, there's still like, you know, probably 20 of us there hanging out. And he's like, yeah, hey, I'll see you guys. And I'm like, hey, Spiral, it's me from Iceland. And he's like, wait, I remember you. And I'm like, knock back. And like, all my friends heard that. And it was just like frivolity because it was too crazy. And I gave him a high five. He gave me a quick hug and he jetted off into his Uber. And I'm just like, my whole night was made.
I guess so.
You know, and then it couldn't get any better except Steve Malkmus walked out and was hanging out on the corner waiting for his Uber. And he's just standing there and he's talking to somebody else he was with. And we're all standing there, like diagonally across the street from Malk. And he's just standing there. And another friend of mine says, Russell, what do we do? And I'm like, we go up to him. And so, like, I just started walking across the street. And then, like, I just, like, went right after, you know, and patiently waited for him to finish his conversation. And I'm like, hello? And I'm wearing my Reykjavik t-shirt, except it says Reykjavik in Japanese.
Oh.
And one of our other friends is Japanese in the group. And when she saw me and she walked into the bar, she was the only person who laughed at me because she's like, your t-shirt says Reykjavik. I mean, the moments were just like amazing. They were all like, it felt like every moment was like that. And then so like Steven was the only person I hadn't met. And, you know, again, super gracious, took some photos, you know, and, you know, I didn't take too much of his time because, you know, the rest of my friends all got time to meet him before his ride showed up, and that was that. You know, we did the Thursday show also, and you know, we got to say goodbye to the band and to everybody else, and it was something else. And you know, one last story that my friend Mike from DC is very fond of. So when we got back from Iceland, I had the picture with me dressed up in the Wowie Zowie outfit. And I have a picture. When we did the record signing, it was at 12 Tonar, which is one of the record shops in Reykjavik. So in the back, they have this wall like with graffiti and it's all color. So I'm in my color outfit and it's all color. And it's this really cool photo that came out and you could see everything, the sneakers, the whole nine yards, right? And so I posted it on Twitter and I said, you know, I posted it to Bob and Carly and Spiral and said, thank you so much for everything. And Spiral wrote back and called me a legend. And that just like broke my friend Mike. He's like, hold up. He's like, do I have that right? He's like, did you call Spiral a legend or did he call you a legend? I'm like, he called me a legend.
That's amazing.
He's like, why? Why did he call you a legend? He's like, what don't I know about you, Russell? And I'm like,
I wear bright colors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like, I don't know, Mike. I'm thankful he did that. You know,
oh God, that's amazing.
It was just, it's wild. It's out on the interwebs, you know, and it makes me smile. There are just so many pieces that made me smile.
At me on Twitter with the photo.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, happy to share it. Yeah. So a quick shout out to the whole crew here. So Steve, Mike, Eric, Liz from England, Sasha, Chiaki, Curtis, Chris from Berlin, Manny and Liza, Wes Stevens, Tony, Bacon, and a very large shout out to the man from Reykjavik himself, Elvar Elvarsson, who was we all became friends with Elvar when we were in Reykjavik, and he was the only person in our group from Iceland. And I love his name because, you know, in Boston, you know, we always swear at people. And Elvar's name is Elvar, Elvar's son. So he's son of an Elvar. I mean, in our best Boston. And he's such a bright personality, a wonderful guy. He does a podcast called Peeling the Onion. So a shout out to him. Nice. And if anybody's out there, it's on Spotify. And he covers a lot of like punk rock origins and stuff. So huge shout out to Elvar and to all the people who were there for Iceland and Brooklyn, my sister, of course, you know, and my family for putting up with the time while I'm away and the incessant playing of the Pavement. You know, but my son has now kind of become kind of a fan a little bit. So
done good work.
Yeah, we're driving around. You know, he has his Pavement favorites too, which makes me smile. So it's you know, some good dad work there. So
yeah,
trying.
Very good.
I'm trying.
Well, what do you say we flip the record here and play song 21 and then come back and have a little talk about that?
Sounds good. I'm ready for a B-side.
All right, let's do it. We'll be back after this.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Bob Nastanovich from Pavement. Thanks for listening. And now on with a countdown.
21.
Darling, don't you go and cut your hair. Think it's gonna make him change.
I'm just a boy with a new haircut,
and that's a pretty nice haircut.
Charger like a puzzle, hitman wearing muzzles. Hesitate to die, look around, around. The second drummer drowned, his telephone is found.
Down to the practice room, tension and fame, the career.
today's song is the second song from Crooked Rain to appear on the countdown thus far. Today we're talking all about number 21, Cut Your Hair. Russell, talk to me about your relationship with this song.
I love this song, for a few reasons. One, I think because, you know, it's ubiquitous. And when I talk about Pavement to the rest of the free world, people are like, I don't remember that band. And if I say Cut Your Hair, people are like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that there's a song that helps people kind of make that connection, even though their relationship to the band isn't as deep as ours.
Right.
I also love it because, like, 90s Russ had the best hair.
Yeah.
Now, for those, you know, for all my friends and family that know me, my hair is gone now. And for all my recent friends, all they know is, you know, Russ has no hair. But 90s Russ and my 90s friends or people that grew up with me know that, like, in college, they used to call me Mr. Perfect Hair
or the
guy with the hair. And my hair kind of came off to the left, and it would, on the side, it came all the way around, and it didn't move. It did not move. And it would just come down in the front, and it was always perfect, no matter, like, when you saw me. I could roll to the cafeteria at 8 a.m., and it had to be just right. It was always on. And, you know, and people used to try to, like, do all kinds of stuff to mess it up, and they just, like, it was his own airtight defense system. It just, it was awesome. It was part of me. Like, you couldn't, you wouldn't see me without it. I didn't have the confidence back then to not have it be just so. It was just, you know, it was part of kind of life in my 20s.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the hair was just, that was it. Wherever I was always able to make sure, like, I could find an outlet and blow dry my hair and make it just so. So it was, it was hilarious. So, you know, I love the song, and the song is just, you know, it's everything about, you know, kind of just like that, being perfect. It's like you have to be so packaged and so, you know, you have to have that image just so, you know, like back in the day when we had the Andre Agassi commercials, image is everything. And that's what Cut Your Hair says to me. It's like image is everything. Like if you're going to go far as a band, like, you know, like you have to have like this, whatever it is, packaged image that the record company wants you to follow in order for your career to advance. And you can't really be yourself, you know? That's how I see the song. It's almost like, you know, it's a song of conformity. And,
yeah,
you know, you have to, you know, if you don't fit the image, you won't move forward. And it's interesting that Cut Your Hair is on Crooked Rain, which really propelled their career and kind of got them to the point where the next record really could have put them up and over. And, you know, and they come out with Wowie Zowie, which is really like, people say like it's equivalent to like Weezer Pinkerton.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I can see that.
Which I loved, and it really kind of got a very cool reception, you know. But like, if you look at the like how everybody rated it, it was like, this album's amazing. And I'm like, well, yeah, that album's amazing. The same thing with like Wowie Zowie. Like it, you know, if as people reviewed it, a lot of people didn't like it, and some people like really loved it. But when you come back and listen to Wowie Zowie, it was growing your hair. They made the record they wanted to make, even though it didn't quite conform to what the record companies necessarily wanted. You know, and they made that art what they wanted it to be. And so that's kind of like what Cut Your Hair kind of means to me, you know? And
I love
tension
it.
And tension and fame. South Korea. I mean, you know, it's a fun song. It's really light and peppy. And you know, it's a song when you go to the show, you know, you're going to hear it, yeah. You know, more yeah. often than not, you know, and when they played four shows, I think they left it out once, you know, maybe twice, but like when we got to Brooklyn, they were really playing like real deep cuts. We got to hear like, they emptied, you know, the cupboards in Brooklyn. And that was great. You know, we got a lot of, you know, hearing Half a Canyon and Pueblo and those kinds of songs were, you know, were really great. But, you know, Cut Your Hair, you know you're going to hear it. But, you know, like, it's fun. And sometimes it can be that song where it's just like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to hear it because it is so popular, you know, and it is, you know, uniquely Pavement and it's, you know, but like, I want to hear other songs. But it was really interesting because, you know, when you gave me the opportunity to come on and talk about it, and I'm like, it really is it's a great song.
It is a great
song. You know?
Song.
And, you know, I saw out on Reddit, I think it was last week, there's now a beer named after it called The Second Drummer Drowned.
Dude, interesting story. The guy who posted that, I just said off nonchalant, I said, oh man, it's too bad you couldn't ship one here. And then he DM'd me, got my address, and he is shipping one to me.
That is outstanding.
It is so fucking cool. And I believe his name is, oh shit, I think it's Mark. I will amend this at some point and make sure that he gets the shout out he deserves. But this leads me to an interesting question for you, talking about, you know, this song and the fact that some people can dismiss it because it was their popular hit. It had, you know, it was on MTV rotation, like the music video. So is this song at 21, is it properly rated? Is it overrated? Is it underrated? What do you think? 21, we're into the great tracks now. Not to say that the whole 50 isn't great, but we're starting to get down to the nitty gritty.
I'm going to say I was surprised when you told me that when I was at 21, I did not expect to see Cut Your Hair here.
Me neither.
But I understand it in a way. And so I will, you know, I'll share a little bit of my own, you know, submission. I ranked Elevate Me Later number one for a very specific reason. I wanted the points for it because I wanted it to be somewhere in the top 50.
Right.
Because I love it. And so, like, when we say, okay, it's going to be like the top 50 countdown, I think about the math that behind it and goes into it. So I think that Cut Your Hair kind of gets knocked down a little bit because everyone just assumes it's going to be there.
Oh, that's a good call.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of like that old Simpsons episode where Bart Simpson, and this is like season one, where Bart Simpson runs for like class president against Martin Prince. And everybody thinks Bart's going to win and nobody votes for him. And only Martin Prince wins 2-0 because him and his only friend voted for Martin Prince. So it was 2-0 Martin Prince. That was it. And Martin won. And everybody's like, nobody voted for Bart? So I feel like Cut Your Hair is Bart. I mean, nobody really voted for it because everybody would just count on it being in everybody's highly ranked list. And here it is at 21.
You're probably bang on the money, man. You know, that's an interesting take. I hadn't really considered that, but I think that's a very solid take.
I mean, because I rank some other songs a little bit higher because I wanted to make sure they made the cut.
Yeah.
You know, and I put Elevate Me Later number one because it just, Like, I asked for it so much amongst my friends. It's just like kind of like it's tied to me now. And every time I hear it, I put it on right before we came on just to like kind of hype me up because it always makes me smile. But Grounded and then Date with IKEA, like, were my top three because Date with IKEA, I mean, for me, that was properly rated because I love that song. And you know, having that time with Spiral, those few minutes with him in Reykjavik is something I will never forget. And it's just like, it's tied to it between that and you know, the Twitter thing and the fact that, like, he remembered me in the shows and you know, in Brooklyn and all that. Like, I'm definitely, like, Team Spiral, and everybody, you know, ribs me for that, you know, good-naturedly, because it's just funny. And, you know, but I think
he's that's a gem, man. He's a gem. He's come on 5 times.
Really?
Yeah. He's been on 5 times.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And I get it. I mean, they've all been great, you know. You know, and a special shout out to Carly, who's Bob's wife. You know, she's, you know, we chat occasionally on Twitter and say hi, how are you? And you know, we were even during the shows, like, she would say hi to me, and she'd say, "Hey, I love your energy." And like, she was videotaping the shows on her phone. And she's like, you know, at like certain intervals, she would just like hand me her phone. She's like, "Tape this." And so, like, I'm like watching the concert, and I'm like holding up her phone, making sure I get good footage for her. It was hilarious. I mean, like, the stuff that just happened was just like, I'm like, how am I even doing this? Like, why, like, you know, why have I been chosen to kind of be in the middle of all of this? And I'm like,
I had a very similar vibe when I did my UK trip. I had a very similar vibe. It was just like, who am I? What fucking planet is this right now?
Right.
This is my favorite band, and I'm following them around, and I'm getting backstage, and they know me. Like, this is so cool.
Right. It's like, this can't be happening.
That's right.
And the whole Iceland trip was like, you know, like, people talk about, like, oh, I had this trip and everything went wrong. The Iceland trip was everything went right. Everything that could have happened that, you know, that could have turned into a positive. And even the little setbacks I had, like, were so quickly resolved, usually by the kindness of strangers or some good fortune. It just, like, it was just amazing how well everything went. And really both trips. I mean, it was the time. I had a wonderful time.
Well, you were owed it, I think. And after missing them a few times, I'm glad you got to resolve your story that way. Is there anything other than the Icelandic Gentleman's podcast that you want to plug while you're here?
No, I think I just want to plug my friends one more time.
Sure.
For everybody in those groups, you know, Steve, Mike, Eric, you know, all those guys, everybody is like just the nicest.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just a quick story, like, you know, Eric bought merchandise for us in Brooklyn and then shipped it home to all of us.
Wow.
And he's like, just Venmo me. Like that kind of like generosity of his time and trust and everything else. Just top shelf. And everybody was like that. Mike was like that. Steve was like that. I've had a good fortune to see Steve a few times, and we've been able to hang out. And even though he's like out in the Midwest, we've been able to connect a few times. And,
oh, that's brilliant.
You know, like, just all the people, just it made it so great. And like I said, like, it just turned into this like giant snowball of good that just kept rolling downhill and just kept getting better, bigger. More people came into the fold. Everywhere we went, more people came in. You know, it was amazing how welcoming everybody was, and all the people that we met, how great they were. And
keep me in mind if you ever do a reunion.
Oh, 100%. I'll hit you up on Twitter, and you know, I'm sure we'll wind up somewhere at some point.
That would be awesome.
You know what I'd really love is like one more like place where like Iceland, where they played 3 shows.
Yeah. And,
you know, Brooklyn, they played 4 shows. Like, they're doing a few South America shows. It's kind of tough, but it's like one show in one location at a big festival. And Like, it's hard to, like, kind of do that. But if they played, like, three shows somewhere where we could just show up and like, kind of recreate them, take over and recreate the magic and make some new stories and spend that time, I would love that. And I don't know. It seems like it's going to be a while, if ever, before they really say, we'll do that again.
We'll see. Like, I don't know. Like, I think SM is getting ready to release, and maybe by the time this comes out, he will have made an announcement of some sort. So we'll get some new Jix material, SM and the Jix, or maybe another, like his last two records have been just him. So maybe it'll be just him. But I wouldn't be shocked if we see them on the road again, because it's fun for them. It's relatively lucrative, you know, like the touring market is a good thing, and they've got a loyal fan base, you know?
They do. I mean, here's my call. This is my take. Another person I got to meet on the Iceland trip was his daughter, Sunday. Who's Sunday's about 15 years old now. And she was super nice. And I connected with her a little bit because that's my son's age. So like I got the whole thing, you know, I understood kind of like where she was coming from, because that's my son's age. And it, you know, my dad piece kind of raised up when we talk about, are they going to hit the road again? I think when Sunday goes to college, I think that at that point, we'll have a chance for them to maybe come back out. But I get the feeling like, you know, he'll do the dad thing. She'll get through high school. You know, his wife is, obviously, we know she's an accomplished artist. She has her career. You know, he'll make time for her. There'll be that balance of family and everything else. And then, you know, when Sunday's off to her next adventure, you know, everybody will probably say, one more ride.
Oh, that'd be great.
So I'm thinking maybe 2027 we'll you know, gas up the truck and we'll make it count, I think, by then.
Well, if they waited till 2029, that would be 40 years, right?
Yeah.
40 years since the band formed. I hope they don't go that long, but you know.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. You know, and that's where, like, kind of the old guy in me says, let's get out there before we can't.
Yeah. Well, on that note, on that harrowing note, it's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank
Boston
you,
Russ. This has been a delight. I'm so glad your story turned out the way it did. That's the kind of feel good stories we do here on Meeting Malcolmus. So, you know, kudos to you. That's what I got for you this week. So tune in next week for song number 20. That's right. We're in to the top 20. In the meantime, wash your goddamn hands.
Thanks for listening to Meeting Malcolmus, a Pavement podcast, where we count down the top 50 Pavement tracks as selected by you. If you've got questions or concerns, please shoot me an email, jd@meetingmalcolmus.com.
Duvra! Podcasts and such.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.